Pastor in the congregation of Harpeth Baptist Church in Kingston Springs, Tennessee, would like to welcome you to today's podcast. Remember, you can always find out more about Harpeth Baptist Church online at harpethbaptist.org. Let's join Pastor Chance Strickland for today's message.
I want to share with you tonight some tips for a happy home. Anybody here not want a happy home? We all want a happy home, right? And I want to give that to you tonight, just some quick and easy little things before we go down for our fellowship. I'm by no means an expert on the home. In fact, if we take the parents here tonight and survey, I'm probably the youngest. I don't know. How old are you, Matt? How old is Matt? Are you younger than me? Oh, okay, I beat Matt. So Matt's the youngest. Matt makes Matt the least qualified to preach to you about the home, and I'm the second least qualified, okay? So after I'm done, Matt's going to give you the second part of this tonight. Now, I'm no expert at all, and I don't claim to be. In fact, I spend a lot of my time, you don't know why I'm asking you the questions I'm asking you, but I ask you all things about your home to learn for my own home. That's the way I learn, is by talking, believe it or not. But along the way, in talking to people and observing, I have picked up some tips that are helpful with any family, especially with mine, and I hope they'll be helpful to you for yours tonight. Tips for a happy home. And this is very fitting as we welcome a new home into our church, with Kevin and Amanda here just being joined together in marriage. The first tip that we have tonight is to be understanding. Amen? You have to be understanding. Anybody here own a computer? Probably all of us own some sort of computer, whether you know it or not. You may not have a computer with a screen and a keyboard and a mouse, but I bet you there's something in your house that runs on a computer. We all have microwaves, right? Everybody has a microwave that has a computer in it. We may own a computer, but I guarantee you, you don't know how to program a computer. Anybody here a computer programmer? You could take just some computer parts and put them all together and write some code and make your computer work. Nobody? Well, I'm disappointed in you all. I was expecting somebody. No, I can't do that. There's a big difference between owning a computer and understanding how it works. There's a big difference between being married to someone and understanding how they work. Y'all should say amen right there. There's a big difference between being married to someone and understanding how they work. Amen. A big, big difference. And I'll tell you what else. There's a big difference between having children and knowing what to do with those children. Amen. I thought they were going to send me home from the hospital with a book. You know, this is what you do if, right? We got that card back there in the back. Go to this verse when. When you're discouraged, read this verse. When you're in need, read this verse. Well, there wasn't that. I thought we brought little cute little Jack home from the hospital. When he cries, do this. But there wasn't. And he cried, and he cried. And we did this, and we did that. And I didn't understand him. Eventually, I came to understand him. By the time we had Henry, look how much better he turned out, right? Look, I mean, just... And then when we had Thomas last summer over at the hospital, the lady came in, the nurse that does the take-home seminar with the new parents. Any of you had children recently enough to remember this? Some of you had children back when they just threw them in the back windshield of your car and you went home, right? Isn't that how we used to keep our kids? I mean, your Bible's back there and the leather's bending up, but you throw your child up in there too and tell them to quit crying. But she came in to give us this Take Your Child Home seminar, and she said, you guys have two boys. Do you just want to sign the papers? And we were like, yeah, and we signed the papers and we went home. She didn't tell us anything. We didn't read what we signed. That probably wasn't very smart, was it? But there was no understanding, and we have to understand. There's a big difference between being married or having children and understanding the people that are in our lives. And if you want a happy home, it's important that you understand the people that are there. Peter writes in 1 Peter 3:7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. He's instructing husbands here to dwell with them according to knowledge, not to just dwell with them. He didn't say dwell with them according to that pan of biscuits she makes so well either. He said, dwell with them according to knowledge. Now, Peter only speaks to husbands, and probably if we'd be honest here, husbands, we're the ones who lack the most in understanding. In fact, I don't have the answer to that. I can't tell you how to understand, but I'm telling you that it's important that you do. But I think that that's a universal application that can be made there. Wives, understand your husbands. Parents, understand your children. Children, understand your parents. And obviously, husbands, understand your wife. So what does it mean, then, to understand another person? It means to make what is important to the other person as important to you as the other person is to you. They may like canning. Anybody into canning?
But you may not care about canning, but you care about them, so you care about canning because you care about them. Right? Isn't that how it works? Mm-hmm. Ladies, he likes to hunt and fish, and you don't care about hunting and fishing, but you care about him, so you care about hunting and fishing. Amen? I thought I'd get a lot of feminine amens right there, but I didn't. That's what it means to be understanding. So you say to yourself, well, then how? How do I gain an understanding of others? Yogi Berra, he always had the little quick and easy things to say about things. Yogi Berra says, you can hear an awful lot just by listening. That's how you gain an understanding. Stop talking and start listening and let the other person go. James chapter 1, verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. That's right. Good job, Jack. There are two things that I'm really quick at. There's one thing that I'm really slow at, and I've got it backwards from what James says I should be here. He says, be swift to hear, fast to hear, but slow to speak and slow to get mad. I'm quick to get mad, I'm quick to speak, and I'm slow to hear. See how that's backwards? And that leads to a lot of problems in the home. So we've got to be understanding. Number two, keep your commitments. Want to have a happy home? Keep your commitments. If you say you're going to do it, do it. If you say you're going to be there, be there. Someone said it this way, be generous with praise, but cautious with promises. Parents, we need to do everything we can to keep the promises we make to our children. Spouses, do everything you can to keep your promises to one another. Children, y'all listening? Children, do everything you can to keep your promises to your parents. If you say you're going to take out the trash, take out the trash. Don't make them harass you to take out the trash. It's your job to keep your room cleaned up. Keep your room cleaned up. Don't make them harass you to keep your room cleaned up. Keep your commitments. You say, well, I don't like how they treat me. If you treat them better, they might treat you a little better sometimes. I was a kid once, believe it or not. I was a large kid, but I was a child, and I learned those things, except that cleaning my room. My poor mother just gave up eventually as a teenager. She went off all my other good and looked over that one bad. My room was so bad. When I was dating Miss Shanae and we got kind of serious, she would clean my room. She would come to my house and clean up my room because it was so bad. Now, any of you who know me now, I am obsessive about things and everything has to be just so. I couldn't live with the 16-year-old me now. I'm not that way anymore, I promise you. Don't move stuff in my office is what I'm saying. If you go over there, don't move nothing. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I know. It's coming at me three times, isn't it? Keep your commitments. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. We know the simplified version of that. It's better to never make a vow than to make a vow and break one. Right? Keep your promises. Keep your commitments. The third thing is show respect. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Anybody else going to sing with me? Just a little bit? Okay. That is not just something Aretha Franklin wanted. It is something that all of us in any kind of relationship want. Parents, your children want you to respect them. Children, your parents want you to respect them. Husband, she wants you to respect her. Wife, he wants to be respected. Respect is something that we have to have if we want to have a happy home. Show respect. It is nearly impossible to have a relationship with another person when there is no respect. Have you ever had to have a relationship with another person when there was zero respect out there? You ever worked with someone, maybe shared a vehicle with them, and you had to work together, but they didn't respect you or you didn't respect them, but you had to pretend like you did all the time? That's horrible, isn't it? And you couldn't wait to get home. Well, who wants to go home when there's a place of no respect as well? I don't know if there's any of us in here tonight who doesn't want a happy home. You have a happy home when you have a home that is full of respect. It's very important we keep our commitments. It's very important that we're understanding of the other person. But even if we can't hardly understand them or we don't know why, we ought to love them enough to respect what it is that they're doing. I think that's very important that we show respect. So how can we respect our family relationships? We can respect each other's property. We can respect each other's privacy. We can respect each other's time. The people who have the most difficulty respecting others are those people with an inflated idea of their own importance. Anybody in here know someone with an inflated idea of their own importance? My wife more than once has had to look at me and say, please stop taking yourself so seriously. It's true. We all need to hear that from time to time.
I don't know when it was she told me that, though. I can't remember. I joke a lot. I do cut up a lot. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Show respect. It's very important. The fourth thing is to encourage. The easiest way to grow a healthy relationship is to offer encouragement. I don't care if you meet a random person on the street that you've never met before. If you brag on them or you compliment them, they'll be a friend. It's like a dog that you feed, right? What does that dog do the next day? Comes back. It don't ever go away. It loves you because you fed it food. It knows who to come to. You encourage someone, they'll come back, and they'll come back, and they'll come back, and they'll come back, and as long as you're an encouragement to them. As Christians, we're commanded to be that. You're aware of this, right, by the Bible? To everyone. But as Christians who've made a vow before God to some other person to be with them until death do us part, we're really commanded to be an encouragement to them. But you know who always gets the short end of the stick around my house? My wife. Because I spend my whole day being an encouragement to everybody else that I come into contact with. When I get home, you know what I'm tired of doing? Smiling. My face hurts because I've been faking a smile all day. It's so good to see. I shouldn't tell y'all this, should I? Because it's you I see. I'm just kidding. We're all just human, aren't we? And then you get home and you're tired and you don't want to talk and you don't want to smile and you want to around the Stricklands, we call them our belly flopping clothes. What do y'all call them? I mean, that's just what we... Is that too private? Should I not tell you that? You know, where you don't have a belt and it's elastic waisted and you can get real comfortable, you know, and a T-shirt maybe. Some of you are looking at me like, that's what I wear all the time. What do you mean? I like to come home and get my elastic waisted pants on and sit around and do nothing. Zombie out just a little bit. Well, my wife's been home all day with the children. And she's been answering a million and one questions. Mama, why? Mama, how? Mama, where? Mama, what about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? We try to tell them, well, you've run out of questions for the day. Henry, do you have any questions left today, or you run out? Did you run out already? Yeah, he already run out today. And she wants adult conversation. Well, I've been having adult conversation all day, and I don't feel like having adult conversation anymore. So she doesn't get encouraged by me. She gets discouraged by me, because who am I concerned about? Me. That's a big problem. Y'all pray for us? No, I'm just kidding. It's not that way every day. I'm just trying to make the example, but I made it sound really bad, didn't I? Encourage someone else. The easiest way to grow a healthy relationship is to offer encouragement. Man, when's the last time you told your wife how pretty she is? When you were trying to get her to marry you, you told her that till she was sick of hearing you tell her how pretty she was. Amen, ladies? But now that she's married to you, you just want to know what's for supper. Amen. I mean, let's just be honest here. We're buddies here. We're all friends. Offer some encouragement. Good to see you, Brother John. You need to be here for this. Now I'm the third most qualified to give this. Matt, I think you're second now. You moved up the list. Way to go. We were deciding who's the youngest couples in here who are the least qualified to talk about a home. So you're it now. Congratulations. Be an encouragement. Tell her you like her hair. Tell her how pretty she is. Ladies, tell him how handsome he is. Hey, I don't care what I look like. Tell me how smart I am. Amen, guys? I don't care if you are 14 or 414. You need to be encouraged. And it is our responsibility as our spouses to tell each other that. Parents, they are told what to do and how to do it and how wrong they get it by everybody in their life. That's what children have to deal with every day. And I realize you have to parent them. I know. But somewhere in there, there's a thing out there. Miss Shanae would know. She reads all the kids' books. There's a thing out there. For every negative thing you have to tell them, you need to tell them three positives. Something like that. I may have the stats wrong. But when you say, you know, you should have done a better grade than that. Then you need to go back and say, boy, you sure do look handsome today. And my, you're growing, aren't you? And then one more. I can't even think of a third one. And you'll have to think of them. But it's important that you encourage your children. And children, encourage your parents because they need it. On their worst day, you need to look them in the eyeballs and say, you're just the best parent I've ever had. Right? Yeah. Be an encouragement. How can we encourage the other people in our homes? Number one answer to this question was with smiles. The people at your house just want to see you smiling. You know why? Because they care about you. And if you're encouraged, then they're encouraged. So smile at them, even if you have to fake it. After a while, you'll get your face stuck that way. My mom taught me that when I was a kid. Don't hold your face like that or it'll stick that way. That's how I got looking like this. I'm sorry. With smiles, with edifying words. Someone said, man doesn't live by bread alone. He also needs buttering up. That's pretty good, isn't it? I like that one. With smiles, with edifying words, with positivity. And we need more positivity. We need it in our churches. We need it in our homes. We need it in our place of work. We need more positivity. And we need more realistic positivity. This superficial positivity, I know I just told you to smile when you don't even feel like smiling, but superficial positivity eventually becomes obvious. And then that's worse than someone just being flat out mean to you when you figure out they've been faking having to be nice to you. Just find something to be positive about. You may not like anything but one thing about this person. Well, just focus on that one thing and be positive about it. But it takes positivity to be encouraging to another. And then with gift giving, give them something. Give somebody something. I get frustrated when I hear families talking about, well, we're not doing this holiday, or we're not doing that holiday, or we're not doing this. And I'm all about budgeting. Any of you who know me know that my wallet says cheap on the inside when I open it. I mean, I will spend money on things, but I'll find a deal. I about did a double backflip this morning before Sunday school. I saw that all our children around here have iPod touches. They walk around with them. I feel sorry for their Sunday school teachers. I don't know what they do during Sunday school. Mine better have his turned off. But I saw one of the young men had gotten him one too. He had joined the club, the iPod Touch Club. And he was very quick to point out to me that he got it at used with a small blemish, so he got it on a discount. And I said, "Woo, man, that excites me. He didn't pay retail for that thing. That is great." I got so excited about that. But I don't care how frugal you need to be, how cheap you need to be. If you're having to homemake the gift, give gifts. Y'all ever watch Little House on the Prairie? Ain't none of us that bad, are we? No. But they had some good gift-giving seasons. Birthdays and Christmases on Little House on the Prairie were always good. Wouldn't be by our standards. Maybe we need to lower our standard a little bit. We started working on that in our home. Boys, y'all put your ear muscle on for just a second. I don't need to hear this. We cut back Christmas this year, and then we're going to cut it back again this coming year and cut it back in the other. So that then what? Okay, you can take them off now. They heard me say take them off, right? Then what they do get, they'll be happy with. It had gotten to where if we didn't have a whole room full of plastic junk that we're going to throw away in 2 or 3 days, that it was a bad Christmas. Well, how can every Christmas ever be bad? We're celebrating the birth of our Savior, right? But gift-giving is important. We've got this skewed perception that we've got to give the things that the public's going to be aware of so that we impress our friends and neighbors. Then when we're at home with the person that we love the most, they didn't get the Valentine's roses. What's that all about? The first person on my list is the one I want to kiss goodnight that night. Amen? She needs to be first on my list. And she's getting the best. I love all of you. But when Valentine's come around, she's first. And then all of you. And Christmas and all the rest too. When y'all all hate my guts and run me out of town, she's going to stand beside me and hug me and tell me how good looking I am. I mean how smart I am. You encourage with gift-giving, positivity, edifying words, and smiles. The fifth thing, practice stewardship. How to have a happy home. Be understanding, keep your commitments, show respect, encourage, practice stewardship. It's so important that we're good stewards of God's blessings, especially with our money. And stewardship can be applied to a lot of different areas other than money, but I'm talking about money tonight. One of the leading causes of trouble in the home is money. You go and talk to divorce counselors and ask, well, what's the problem? Why is everybody getting divorced? They're fussing about money. It's not always the case, but a lot of times money is the case. Why is it that money's such a problem? We could go around the room here tonight, and if I could talk to you individually and get you to be honest with me, you might say something like, well, I've never been good with money. Or you might say, well, we just don't ever have enough money. Those are two things you always hear when people are talking about struggling with money. Just as much as we're instructed by God to witness or worship or study the Word or go to church or be baptized, we're instructed by God in His Word in more than one occasion to be good stewards of our money. You want to have a happy home? Know where your money goes. You want to have a happy home? Know how much money you've got coming in. Know how much you've got going out. Know how much you owe and know how to get it paid off so you don't owe anybody anything.
I figured that out. It took me about 8 years of marriage. But I finally figured out when I don't owe a whole bunch of people all of my money, my wife likes me better for some reason. It was like I got a raise, and I didn't even get a raise. We're instructed to be good stewards. There's no excuse for Christians mishandling their money. There's no excuse for family suffering because we will not manage our money. And then the last one tonight is to be forgiving. You want a happy home, you're going to have to be forgiving. A couple was asked how they stayed married for 54 years. Anybody in here been married that long or longer? 54 years? One, two. Is that it? Y'all might go right along with this. Their reply was, when they were asked, how did you stay married for 54 years? They said, you overlook a lot of little things and you forgive each other. That sound about right? Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. But you know what the thing is about forgiveness? It's unnatural. Humans in our carnal flesh, to forgive doesn't feel right. In fact, to be a forgiving person, you have to feel like a pushover sometimes, don't you? Feel like they got the better end of the deal, or they one-upped me. It doesn't feel natural. Seems more natural to carry a grudge, to record all the wrongs of someone's life in the legal pads of our minds. That seems more natural. I forgave them, but I'm never going to forget it. You know what that means? It means you never forgave them. It's more natural to think of ways of getting back at those who hurt us. But the Bible is clear in its instruction. As we have experienced the forgiveness of God, we are to forgive others. Till you've experienced the forgiveness of God, you never can understand forgiveness. The Spanish have a story about a father and a son who became estranged. The son left home, and the father later set out to find him. He searched for months with no success. Finally, in desperation, the father turned to the newspaper for help. His ad simply read, Dear Paco, meet me in front of the newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you, your father. On Saturday, 800 young men named Paco showed up looking for forgiveness and love from their estranged fathers. Isn't that something? Many cannot forgive because they have never experienced God's forgiveness. And my last tip to you for a happy home, and the most important tip, is to experience God's forgiveness. If you've never been saved, it's worth a shot. You may not have it all figured out. You may not get into everything that we do here around the church. I'm not asking to join the church. I'm saying get saved. Allow Jesus to forgive you for your sins. Don't try to have a happy home that's not founded on God. Be sure everyone is saved. Be sure everyone has been baptized. Be sure everyone knows how to pray and read the Bible. Be sure everyone takes time every day to do so. Be sure everyone gets to church. Because except the Lord build the house, your labor is in vain. You can do everything else right. You can get just the right jobs. You can get just the right home. You can get just the right cars, just the right clothes, just the right friends, just the right community. All the things in life that America says we've got to have a happy home, and leave God out of it. And you'll have a hell home is what you'll have, and not a happy home. I'm not cussing there. All the kids are in here. I forget. I feel like it's Wednesday night, and I can talk how I want. But what I mean is a place that's like the devil. Not a happy home. But if you want to have a happy home, get saved. Experience the forgiveness of God, and then you yourself can be forgiven. Forgiving. Then you can practice stewardship. You can be encouraging to those in your house. You can show them respect. You can keep your commitments, and you can be understanding.
Thank you for listening today. If you have questions about this ministry or would like to know more about becoming a Christian, please contact us. We can be reached online at parfithbaptist.org or by phone at 615-378-1136. Please join us again next week for another Bible sermon from Harpeth Baptist Church.